Hello, I'm Gavin Horgan, headmaster of Millfield School in Somerset, the largest co-educational boarding school in the UK. Welcome to the Millfield Way podcast. Here, you'll hear from teachers, coaches, and students from Millfield and Millfield Prep School. Millfield is traditionally different, and this is the Millfield Way.
Good evening and welcome to our Millfield Admissions Webinar Wednesday series. It's a great pleasure to have you come and join us for another of the webinars that we've done this term. This is the second of this series, although we've been doing quite a few of webinars since Easter, covering a range of different topics. We've moved a little bit into discussion areas, and this webinar is going to follow the theme one we started last week, which was about academic brilliance. My name is James Possel. I'm the registrar at Millfield School. I'm delighted I'm going to be joined by two of my colleagues this evening to talk a bit about how we can be healthy and happy this term at home. I was aware when we made this title up, it may have sounded as if it's not possible to be healthy and happy at home, but the key word there was this term. So I hope parents aren't in any ways concerned that we might be implying that it's not possible to be healthy and happy at home normally. But obviously it's been something that we've all been really thinking about over the last few weeks in this strange period of remote learning and this period of lockdown that we've all been going through. And as that period starts to perhaps ease or get a bit more ability to go outside and to do things and to see people, never more has been important to think about how we spend our time to be healthy and happy. Now, in the same theme as all of these webinars, that we've been doing, we're very interested in what you, our future pupils, some of our current pupils and parents and families have as thoughts and comments and questions that they'd like to put to us. And during the course of the next hour or so, please do enter any questions you would like to put to our panel. Use the chat function. We can see them coming in. Full marks to Ray, who's got straight off the blocks and got a question to us already. So thank you for that. But particularly any pupils, students that are joining us, want to put any comments in or even thoughts and reflections. We're really interested in what you as young people are thinking and feeling about this topic, your thoughts and opinions. That's why we're here. That's why we're going to teaching. That's why we're going to education, is to work with you guys. And we're missing our contact with many of our students and pupils at the moment. So this is a chance for us to touch base with you. And we'd be really interested to hear your thoughts. So please do keep these things coming through. And a topic like this, which is something which you see in the news a lot, don't you? I think YouTube and this strange thing called TikTok, which I'm not quite sure what that is. Someone maybe during the course of the evening can explain to me what it is as an old fogey. But you see more and more of these health videos and ways to keep fit that constantly keep coming up on our screens. So I've got delighted to be joined by two of the healthiest and happiest of my colleagues on the teaching staff. They're going to introduce themselves in a moment. But just as a recap, my name, as I said, James Possel. I'm the registrar at Millfield. I've been here for 8 years. I taught history in two other boarding schools. I've run a boarding house. I've taught a range of games, sports and other activities. And I've enjoyed running the admissions here for the last few years. So that's my background. I'm going to hand over now to my first panellist, who is Mrs. Kate Weston, and she's the deputy head.
Good evening, Mr. Possel. Thank you for that nice way of introducing our webinar this evening. I've been here for just over 18 months. My role as deputy head pastoral is to oversee the pastoral care, the operational side of things, so the day-to-day, week-by-week running of the school and the pastoral life of the students and the whole community, really. And also to look at how we can make pastoral care even better in the future. So to look at what we're going to be doing in the long term as well as the current and the short term measures. How did I get into this? Well, I ran a boarding house for 7 years at another HMC school, but I also am a biology teacher. In a previous existence, I used to do quite a lot of rowing. Thankfully, nobody's yet found out quite how bad I am at rowing these days at Millfield, so that's okay. And I do enjoy a bit of running, actually. Not very fast, but that's at the moment, that's my way of trying to stay a little bit healthier and stay happy as well. But yeah, that's my little introduction. Thank you.
Good evening, and my name is Aidy Watling. A warm welcome from myself as well. A little bit about myself. I've been teaching now for just over 20 years in senior schools. I had the wonderful opportunity of joining Millfield back in 2008, initially as the head of academic sports science and PE, but quickly got into pastoral care and the boarding environment in particular, and was an assistant housemaster for 3 years, and then became the housemaster of a senior boys' house for 6 years, six wonderful years, and thereafter just came out of the house and became part of the sort of senior pastoral team, which is where I find myself today as head of pastoral compliance.
Brilliant, thank you so much. I'm really pleased that AD and Kate have given up their time this evening to join me. And especially having seen the very first question that's come up, I'm delighted that I've got a biologist and a PE specialist to help answer that. We'll come on to that a bit later on, so do bear with me. But you'll see why when I tell you what question Ray's come up with first. So, happiness classes. I was thinking back to when did I first hear us ever in school using and discussing talking about happiness lessons, about classes. Where did we start this from? I remember about 2005, it suddenly became something that was talked about, that some schools were going to teach happiness. And I think it was a bit of cynicism at the time as to how do you teach happiness and is this really necessary? And yet now it seems very normal that we would talk about this and well-being in ways which was never done in the past. Mind you, I grew up in the last century, and things were very different back then in many ways indeed. So the health and happiness of our students, which has become increasingly important over the last few years, and it's something we take incredibly seriously. In many ways, boarding schools have almost done implicitly. They've almost just done it by normal way of life. Run around a lot, do lots of sports and games, wear yourself out, you'll sleep well at night, has always been probably something that boarding schools have taken for granted. But it does strike me that happiness is now something which not only do we really value as a life skill, but is a central part of what we do as teachers and educators. And I think it's a great compliment to what the work that goes on with families at home. And I'm sure at this time, what's slightly thrown all young people is the fact that we're not having that regular relationship and contact with our friends and our peers. And that's hard. I know I find it hard that I don't regularly see all of my colleagues here. It's been quite nice that I'm in sunny Somerset today at Millfield. The sun's shining in the window here beside me. And it's been nice to be able to see Mr. Watling, Miss Weston this afternoon to touch base with them. So my first point is really just an opening thought, really. Mrs. Weston, you know, it's been hard these last few weeks in this sort of lockdown. What are the challenges that you've had in keeping healthy and happy? I mean, how have you managed it?
I think you're absolutely right. I mean, it's a huge time of uncertainty. There's an awful lot of anxiety there. And we're talking about both health and happiness. For me, health encompasses all aspects of health. So that's mental health as well as physical health. And so I suppose we're looking, you know, I'm a mum. I've got two boys who are 11 and 13. They're working at home. So it's changed the way the family dynamics a little bit. Because we've got to manage their learning as well as, you know, two parents who are doing their jobs. So basically, I think you've got to have some flexibility. You can't be too rigid in your approach. And I think, as I said earlier, for me, the key thing that keeps me, you know, happy and healthy really is taking a little bit of time out for me to make sure that I can think things through, running. As I said earlier, I'm not very good at it, but I'll do it. I'll plod along. And that gives me time just to reflect on things. And I feel so much better. I get a bit of a buzz. The endorphins are flowing at the end of a run. And I'm, you know, it makes me happy, particularly if I get some kind of a personal best on Strava, possibly occasionally challenging the headmaster. But I think he's a bit faster than me at the moment. So
I'm going to qualify this. You're being very modest. Before open day, when I came in on the Saturday, we did our virtual open day, and you casually mentioned you'd done a half marathon, and that was at about 9 o'clock in the morning. You'd already done that this morning. So, you know, you're being very modest about that. And please don't think that just because I've got also Mr. Watling, who is also a great health expert on, that we're expecting everybody to be fanatical runners. But Mr. Watling, how have you coped in this period as well?
Well, it's been a very, very a very sort of different kind of time, obviously. I think similar to Kate, exercise, you won't be surprised to hear, as an exercise physiologist, exercise is kind of the bedrock of my calm as well, getting out on the bike or getting out on the run. But, you know, the one thing for me is that why did I come into teaching is because I absolutely love the buzz of a classroom, the interactions with students in boarding houses, day houses, out coaching. You know, those who've ever been to King Weston to see our wonderful grounds for football, it's just an absolute delight. And that's what I get my absolute buzz from teaching. So not having that for several weeks now has very definitely been, it's been hard, there's no doubt about that. You know, much like Kate, I've got two girls at home, 14 and 12, my wife's a primary school teacher. So I think it would be remiss of me to say that it's always harmonious in the Watling household during the school day, because it's difficult, there's no doubt about that.
Yeah, it's difficult times. I'm sure all the families watching at the moment and listening in, because by the way, we've also made this into a podcast. So there may well be people tuning in and being sent quietly to sleep late at night listening to us. But it is absolutely a challenge for all families, and to get that balance right. In terms of what does this mean, being healthy and happy at Millfield? What's our philosophy, Mrs. Weston? We've got people who are joining Millfield in September, and those who are current students. But if we had to sum up the Millfield line on this, what do you see? How do you see it at Millfield?
I think one of the massive advantages of Millfield is that we are fairly massive, and therefore there's so much opportunity here. Not just in, we're known for our sport, and I think we've kind of pushed that a little bit in the opening part of the podcast, and maybe that's not a fair reflection of the school. There's so much going on here at Millfield, but I think there's an opportunity for everybody here to really find their identity and to find like-minded individuals within the community here. That's not just students finding other students, it's students having connections with their teachers, with their staff in their houses, with their coaches or their music teachers, or you know, even the matrons, even the cleaners and so on. We're all one part of a big community here, and therefore it's really important that we have that opportunity to really share, you know, connections. And that's that, I think, finding that sense of identity and connection is one key part of Millfield. Also having a sense of purpose, that busyness here in a big boarding school. There's a lot of research that suggests that actually focusing on trying to be happy is really, really difficult, because how do you define happiness? How do you know that moment when you're actually happy? We don't live in a Disney film. You know, we're not going to find unicorns and bluebirds singing and all that sort of stuff. That's not what life's like. But actually having a sense of purpose can actually bring happiness with it. And I think there's an awful lot of things to get involved in here at Millfield, which therefore gives you an enormous sense of purpose. But it's really, I think for us actually, it's about getting that balance as well with the busyness, and everybody has their own levels that they can tolerate. So it's knowing what those levels are, and that's where the house teams and so on come in.
Yeah, absolutely. That balance is absolutely crucial, isn't it? It's got to be kept. Mr. Watling, have you had any case studies from the students you've picked up, things that they've told you about how they've managed to do this, and thinking about the variety? And I'm going to also ask you to balance your own latest hobby. Would you be able to bring that in for those who might be worrying that the phys ed teacher is all about running, because there's many other, your new talent, Mr. Watling, would you be able to share that with us, as well as talking about what students you've learned from them?
Thank you, Mr. Postle. I was naturally hoping that that might be avoided for the next hour, but clearly not. Yeah, I think, and I'm going to mention this a little bit later with regard to sort of top tips for dealing with lockdown and being healthy and happy. But certainly, if you'd said to me 2 months ago that Mr. Warren would be pretty connected and sort of balanced on an allotment just around the corner, I would have very definitely lost a couple of pounds in that bet with you, Mr. Postle. However, and we'll talk more about this a little bit later, but it's that purposefulness. Mrs. Weston just mentioned that. And for me, you know, obviously exercise has always been a hugely important part of my life, but actually, interestingly, this last 3-4 weeks, I've probably done less exercise than ever before, because if I've got a spare half an hour or hour, my sort of new sense of purpose is around actually trying to get this allotment up and running to try and actually grow something. So that very definitely has been something that was completely unexpected for me, but it's given me a sense of control. And I think when we're talking about these uncertain times, having that sense of control in rhythm and routine in a day or your weekend or your downtime, particularly away from screen time, is massively important.
Yeah, it is absolutely, isn't it? That sense of purpose. Mr. Weston, I'm going to take a question we've had come in straight off, actually, and that Millfield sounds very sporty is why I was partly getting Mr. Watley to allude to his great new hobby. My wife wants us to have an allotment. I mean, she's going to be very envious. You don't know the trouble I'm going to be in, Mr. Watling, when she hears that you've got an allotment ahead of us. But anyway, the question comes in, Millfield sounds very sporty. Can non-sporty children be happy and healthy, Ms. Weston? How can they do that?
Oh, absolutely. I think there is a bit of a myth that we are just about sport. That's so not true. I don't know if anyone caught the concert, for example, on Monday night. I spent, I think it was an hour and 46 minutes celebrating Somerset Day, watching the most amazing YouTube concert that our Millfield students have put together. So there's a really, really, really thriving music scene here at Millfield. There's drama, other performing arts, you know, dance. There are so many different ways that people can find that purpose, that sense of connection and those relationships with each other. And that's obviously that's here in Millfield during a normal term time situation. But actually, I've been so impressed, actually humbled, I think, by the creativity of my colleagues, because we're desperately trying to replicate what we do, to some extent, the busyness, whilst being mindful of getting that balance, the busyness of life here at Millfield, remotely, so that we've got, so the children can be healthy, happy, purposeful whilst they're at home. So the idea is that they are, they're finding relationships with each other, they're learning things about themselves, they're putting themselves in challenging situations where they can get to grow. Scare yourself a little bit. That's what I'm doing this evening, I think. Scare yourself a little bit, become more confident in certain areas, develop skill sets. So that doesn't have to just be on a pitch, on a squash court or something like that. That's also performing in front of individuals. It's debating. It's baking. It's we even have our activities program, for example, MAP, which we run generally 4 till 5 on a Friday afternoon, but now some of those MAP sessions are occurring at different points in the week. We have a gardening MAP, Mr. Possel, so you know, if you want to become a better horticulturalist, then maybe you should engage in that on a Friday afternoon. But there are so many other ways. It's not just about sport, although we're quite good at that too.
Absolutely super. Mr. Watling.
Yeah, just a couple of things further to that. I mean, Mrs. Weston just alluded to the map. I mean, I was having a little chat to a colleague the other day, and we currently have over 90 different maps that are available. So again, diversifying and getting away from that kind of that sporty banner, which is sometimes a misrepresentation. I mean, but if we look at our inter-house competition, and it's very specifically called the inter-house competition because, you know, Millfield is such an enormous animal for our students, and their real sense, their anchor a lot of the time is within their boarding or their day house, and that real sense of belonging and the team ethic and the camaraderie of that house is really borne out in the inter-house competition. So, you know, last week we had a fabulous inter-house photography competition, for example, with some absolutely sublime entries towards the end of the week. Only this lunchtime I was privileged to listen to Millhouse versus King Weston in the intermediate house debate, which was fabulously chaired by Mrs. Gray of the English department. And there's another great example of you know, different students pitting against other students and coming to the fore with a different skill set.
Brilliant. Yeah, it does. It's an amazing range. And when we refer to maps, you know, each of those are different activities that go on each week. It's a quite unique range of events that goes on at Millfield for those areas. I'd just like to go back to Mr. Watling again, AD. Can we come back to you? Could you just tell us a bit more how we've maintained the normal school routine going during this period of lockdown? Because it's not easy, is it? How we managed to keep that routine going?
Absolutely. I mean, I've used the term already, sort of rhythm and routine. And I think we are certainly trying to be, as a school, as authentic to the normal school day as absolutely possible in these remote learning days. Purposefulness. And when we talk about, you know, teenage anxieties and teenage uncertainty, sometimes the rigor of a daily routine is absolutely paramount to them. There's no doubt about that. I've been talking to many pupils this week again, and they just like the purpose that, you know, it sets the scene for the day right from the get-go. We've got group tutor, we've obviously got the five lesson day, or three as it is today with regard to Wednesday, with regard to house assemblies, group tutors. Obviously we talked about, you know, the map, the extension, the co-curricula. There's a whole host of things like that. And I think if you get that in place, for me, the most important thing is there's your purposeful sort of control over the day. And then what you're trying to do is replicate the sort of the pillars of good health around that, really. So if you've got your working day, if your office day as a student at Milford at the moment is from 8:30 to 4:35 p.m., then obviously you've got your meal times, you've got your evening, you've got a little bit of downtime, hopefully with the family, preferably away from the screens, obviously. And then we talk about, again, the diet, sleep. I could bore you silly about sleep hygiene. I know Mrs. Weston's a big advocate for this as well. But, you know, if you had a busy day, the busyness and purposefulness of that day, then come nighttime, you're tired. You're ready to sleep. So, you know, that's all the rhythm and routine that we have in place for all of our students at the moment. Of course, there's pitfalls and there's anxieties and there's things that go awry. You know, the pastoral care of our teenage students wouldn't be the same without those little hiccups and those little ups and downs. So therefore, as pastoral carers, we've got that, you know, unwavering support and guidance around the child, which is obviously in place. And we've kind of alluded to a little bit around our sort of trying to seek the time away from the screen time, particularly with the co-curricula, to give them a real sense of downtime and hopefully getting out in the air, in the outdoors.
Right, yeah, and there's some really good points in there we might come back and touch on again. Thanks very much, AD. Mr. Weston, how we manage to keep our students in touch with each other during this time? I alluded earlier, we kind of miss each other and that sort of camaraderie and seeing each other around school. How have we managed that in the last few weeks?
I think it's been quite difficult. I mean, students are pretty good at staying attached to a screen, actually, and, you know, Snapchatting each other and messaging each other. But it's really important, I think, the feedback we've had consistently since we started teaching remotely has been that actually they've really, really valued the opportunity to have lifetime in class sessions whereby they can talk to each other, they can talk to the teacher, they've got that degree of connection. So during the school day, during lessons, we're teaching live through Microsoft Teams, and as Mr. Watling suggested, you know, we can bore each other silly with our voices, but actually I think there's a certain sort of comfort in listening to that familiar voice and to be able to hear that sort of connection with the teacher and to hear each other's voices. But away from that, we've also got group tutor period in the mornings, so they can talk to each other then, they can discuss various themes, PSHE sessions, which are in an extended time slot. So if conversations needed to happen, they wanted to happen, absolutely a great opportunity for those house groups to talk to each other about key things. House meetings are happening, so there are, you know, the whole house will meet together, generally in a live format, so they can discuss various bits and bobs, including the house competition programme, which I think there's quite a lot to be said for that gentle inter-house rivalry. That sort of house spirit becomes really embedded when they're just slightly competing against each other. It's quite important to them, I think, who's going to come out on top in whatever competition it is. And that actually, I think, really cements their sense of belonging and their school identity. Again, those are elements that are really critical for happiness and a sense of purpose. I've been really pleased, actually. We've had school council meetings, had the meeting this week, equality and diversity group. And for me, actually, it's possibly a little bit selfish, but I've really enjoyed, because I've really missed seeing the children, hearing the children, having the buzz of the children around here. It's been great to hear their interaction, hear their fantastic ideas in our online meetings. So they're discussing things. And I know we had some LGBT training yesterday. We've got a group of ambassadors working on that. They've set up a little WhatsApp group so they can then discuss ideas how to take the school forward there. So there's some wonderful ways that they're connecting with each other, some slightly generated by the school, and other ways that they're sort of taking the initiative themselves.
Yeah, great. Thanks very much, Kate. Yeah, absolutely. There's a whole range of things that have been going on at the moment. And there's some super questions that are just coming in about some of the academic courses, and we'll come on to those, actually. There's some really good points that are being made. I'd just like to come back to one point that Mr. Watling mentioned, which I think we've all started to appreciate the importance of. The various books that are written about this now, I think we probably took it for granted. Growing up in the 80s, you just heard that Margaret Thatcher needed just 4 hours of sleep a night. I don't think any of us, if she really did, I don't think any of us can cope on that now. And in fact, the importance of sleep is something that's just risen in our resonance. And both of you two, I know, have done a lot of work on this. But Mr. Watling, is it one of your particular interests, shall we say, not just sleeping, but investigating how young people can benefit from sleep?
Of course it is, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. I mean, irrespective of your sort of performance expertise, it doesn't matter whether you're an athlete, whether you're an actor, whether you're a musician, clearly none of us are going to perform optimally without, you know, that the sleep. And we talk a lot about hydration and diet, but from a physiology point of view, you know, the absolute pillar of good health is sleep. There's no doubt about that. You're right. It's been a real sort of, you know, buzz topic the last 2-3 years of that era. There's an absolute plethora of good books out there and websites, obviously. But in terms for me, just trying to sort of keep it reasonably simplified, it goes back to rhythm and routine for me. If you're really looking to try and, particularly in the working week. Now, obviously, our working week at the moment is Monday to Friday, and we're cramming an awful lot in, as we tend to do at Milford, as opposed to perhaps the Saturday. But it is the rhythm and routine. It's trying to make sure that you get up at the same time every day, that you go to bed every day at the same time as well, and looking for those kind of routines. When I ever mention this, particularly to my senior footballers, they generally smile and sort of, you know, some of them laugh and snigger at me a little bit. But the vast majority of us go to bed, for example, when we're tired, and perhaps we might take our phones to bed or take our iPads to bed. But it really is looking about the routine, you know, before bed in terms of what you're eating, trying to limit caffeine intake after perhaps 6 p.m. But, you know, little things about, you know, not reading the news in bed, you know, because at these times of anxiety, even for our teenagers, there's a lot of uncertainty out there. And for adults, trying to divulge all that information is quite alarming at times. So for them just to sort of try and put the bed, try to put the day to bed at 8 o'clock in the evening, catch up with family, you know, watch a bit of telly, read a book or something like that is hugely important. But it is very definitely trying to get that daylight as well. You know, make sure that wherever possible, you know, if you've got a break, you know, morning break, and we've had this fabulous weather we've had here, you know, step outside, take a glass of squash or a cup of coffee or whatever your tipple is at that time of the morning, and take it outside and go outside for 20-25 minutes, get a little bit of fresh air, a little bit of sunshine, hopeful. And just and obviously we often espouse the importance of exercise as well, in terms of, you know, acute exercise really does increase, you know, the quality of sleep time, and particularly that, you know, that deep REM sort of, you know, sleep. But the one thing that go back to my footballers that they laugh at me is the fact that I set a sleep alarm, which is a little tip I picked up from Matthew Walker's book about 3 years ago when I read that. And we all wake up to an alarm. Why not go to bed to an alarm? So it is in the working week, just and my alarm goes off, and I know that whatever I'm doing then, I try and finish the sentence, put the laptop away, and think about the rest of the evening in terms of whether that be, you know, taking the dog for a quick walk, whether it be spending a bit of time with my wife and my girls, having a shower, picking up the newspaper, and then getting myself to bed. So there's a whole host of things there, but it is really around, for me, it's around, you know, clearly hydration, it's around exercise. And by exercise, we can talk about just going out for a walk, which is absolutely fabulous as well. And also just trying to remove those technology. I mean, for those who are parents who are joining Millfield, they may not be aware that generally we take technology off our year 9, 10 and 11s in the evening. So my daughter, for example, my eldest daughter is in year 9. She won't thank me for sharing this, but I take her technology off her every night, because she doesn't do it necessarily as willingly as perhaps I'd like, but she has to do it because I want her to just switch off and get some quality sleep.
The way I phrase it, and the headmaster also I noticed did so today earlier, is that it's all part of the service, Mr. Watling. We will charge up the phones. This is what I say when I'm walking around on tour. We will charge up your phone or iPad for you, and it's ready to do, collect in the morning when your room's nice and tidy, so you can pick it up then. But you're right, it is about having that self-restraint and screen time. Again, this is a phrase, 10 years ago, someone had said, we're worried about screen time. I'd have looked at them as if they were mad. I wouldn't know what they were talking about. And it's interesting, it's such a new phenomenon. All of these things are. And just building on a bit of philosophy here, because These new ideas and concepts, which to the digital natives out there, who is anybody, you know, aged about sort of 17 and younger, who hear and have grown up with screens and phones and iPads. But going back to us old fogies and those of us who were around in the last century, there have been many moves for the better in where we've shifted. And I think awareness of sleep is definitely one of those. Awareness of perhaps being a bit kinder with each other. Is there something in here, Mrs. Weston, the fact that we're at a stage where we've never been more socially connected than we are now through our screens? We've got on digitally more friends than we've ever had in our lives, again, through those sort of counts you see on Facebook and elsewhere. And yet, are we actually still keeping that balance correct in the real world? Do you think lockdown might have a benefit where we might exit lockdown a little bit kinder to each other? I mean, the thought that every Thursday night we'd be standing outside applauding carers, health workers, lorry drivers, teachers, my goodness, they even get a round of applause. Do you think we're going to come out in a different sense? I don't know. I mean, I've strayed away just from sleep, but into this sort of idea that the social side of life is changing and altering all the time. And maybe this would be a good period. Will we look back and think, this was a really good time for us? It's what the humanity needed.
I think you're right. I think you've probably got a point there, Mr. Postle, that we have the opportunity to take a little bit of time and reflect at the moment. It's an opportunity to connect with people that we maybe have forgotten, that have fallen off our, you know, you scroll through your phone and you go, oh, I've got this many people that I'm really good friends with. And actually you realize that you haven't spoken to them for quite a long time. So there's that opportunity to connect with those individuals. And actually, I think people they're more sympathetic to other people's needs. They recognize that there are an awful lot of people out there who are going through an enormously hard time. We've been lucky to have roles within the community at the moment. So whether that's delivering prescriptions, whether it's delivering leaflets, food hampers, all sorts of things like that. So I think there's an increasing awareness of our privilege and our opportunity to do good within our local communities. Now, that's just within Street in Somerset, but I've been really heartened to see the connections, the kindness that our students have been engaging with all around the world. There've been some really, really heartwarming stories. But I think on another level, it's about people looking out for each other. So for example, this term we've had heads of house training, and you might say, well, that's completely pointless and an utter waste of time because we haven't got children here in school. But actually, no, I think it's important for the student communities to have their leaders, for the younger children, for example, in the year 10 to 13 houses, to know that they've got upper sixth formers who've had some sort of elementary safeguarding training, who they can go to, they can talk to about any particular issues they've got. We've got our peer listeners as well. So children that can connect with each other. And you know, when someone's given you you've been the recipient of a random act of kindness, that gives you a little bit of a buzz, it makes you walk a couple of inches taller, and that makes you want to give back as well. And you know, whether it's just smiling at somebody when you're having a bit of a complex day, and you take a step away from your particular problems and you just smile at someone else, you connect with them on a really, really basic human sort of level. And that, you don't know, actually, that other person might not have had any interaction with another human for a day or even a week or whatever. And just smiling, saying hello, can make an enormous difference. So I think there's also the be kind to yourself. It's a bit like putting on your oxygen mask when the oxygen levels drop in an aeroplane. You know, do look after yourself, not to the exclusion of everybody else, and not just sort of shut the door and you know, pour yourself a glass of wine and have a big bubble bath all the free time that you've got. But certainly not for children under the age of 18, please. But I think if you are administering and recognising your own mental and physical health needs, then you have the capacity to give out more to other people, and to be strong for them and to be there when they need to talk. And it's not just a cursory, oh, how are you doing? Yeah, fine. Okay, that's all right. It's no, how are you really doing? It's having that opportunity to really listen, to read the signals. And maybe that's more difficult at this point in time because a lot of the connection is done by a screen. But then maybe because we're becoming more familiar, those dinosaurs here that were born in the 70s, maybe we are becoming a little bit more digitally literate, and therefore we can read the body language on screen a little bit more, and we can then sort of investigate if somebody is feeling a little bit under the weather, rather than just a, "Oh, are you all right? Yeah, fine, move on." You can pursue that a little bit more, and I think we're all becoming a bit more confident in doing that, and having a bit more time for each other. Mr. Watling.
Yeah, and just sort of piggybacking on the back of those comments, which I wholly subscribe to, I think, you know, I was talking to a couple of Upper Six students earlier this week, and it's funny when we talk about their generation, as Mr. Postle alluded to, this generation have grown up with, you know, Spotify and Netflix and Amazon Prime and everything sort of instantaneous, and I got a real sense from these two young men that I was talking to, the fact that they've just, this has allowed them a real sense of pause, a real sense of kind of, you know, to really think about their purpose, their place in their house, their place in their team, their place in their class, and thinking a little bit around those sort of soft skills. And we talk about cooperation and resourcefulness. And but for me, it's that generosity of spirit that, you know, that my colleagues have already alluded to, that you get a real sense that, you know, some of these students have gone, actually, hang on a minute, you know, what can I do to help? And you know, those kindness we talked about, you know, just those civilities, common courtesies and civilities. Good morning, how are you? Opening doors, closing doors, helping people out. You know, we've got a real sort of, you know, wave of that euphoria at the moment, which is absolutely fabulous. And long may that continue.
And do you not think this is really important as we enter into a easing out of lockdown, but in a still socially distanced world, that it could be very easy for us to start to just veer away from people? I get particularly exercised, I told you this earlier, when I'm walking around Waitrose, and if someone literally almost leaps away from me, you know, I'm not that close, and I would happily move away from them, but and then looks almost as if, you know, in shock, horror. I think we've got to maintain clearly social distancing for a little while longer, but at the same time, we need to learn how to come out of this, don't we? It's complex, but I think you're right, Mr. Watling, you know, this is something we need to develop, and it's something that everybody is going to be going through. This is, we've never had this before, have we? And if you are at home and you're thinking about these issues and you're any concerns, you know, it's very right that you go and talk to people about this, isn't it? And to there are people to do that with. Mrs. Weston, who would you go and talk to at Millfield if you've got a concern? If something's weighing you down, you just don't know where, you know, things are going to go. It's a worrying time for you as a young person. Who do you go and talk to?
So regardless of whether it's now at this particular point in time or whether it's when students are back here on campus, I think the key message is you talk to the people that one will give you good advice, but also that you have that relationship with. And that could be a whole host of people. Primarily, it will be your group tutor or your housemaster or housemistress, a member of that house team, because they quite predominantly, they're the individuals who have that complete overview of your life. So you don't need to start by explaining who you are and all the complexities of, you know, the demands on your time or your family situation or anything like that. They should, you know, they will know without you having to launch into all that background information. But there are also other people you can talk to. We have a pastoral team, so that's Mr. Watling, myself, Mr. Collins, the assistant head pastoral, Mr. Middleton, Mrs. Ellison. So we're pastoral slash safeguarding. We've also got a team of counsellors here at Millfield. I think, but as I mentioned earlier, I think you'd also potentially, it's right for the students to want to reach out to each other as well, and to make sure that they have the right, you know, the older students have the right skill sets to support the younger students. And hopefully the baton is passed over time. So, you know, a year 9 or 10 child who has a good positive connection with a child further up in a boarding house, maybe captain of swimming, for example, or one of the prefects, or just somebody that they've seen, you know, on stage and they've really admired, or somebody in Camerata or something like that, that they will go to them and they will reach out to them. And then those older students, because they've been the recipients of good pastoral care and so on, they will know how to signpost that child towards help. And I think it's about the relationships as well between all those students, because I wouldn't expect those 16, 17, 18 year olds to hold on to something that was particularly worrying them about another child. They will have the toolkit to then and the relationships with their house masters or mistresses or group tutors to then say, actually, little Johnny's come to talk to me about something, he's really worried, I've told him this, but I think you need to know. And I think that's the beauty, actually. It's a nice, it's an open and friendly environment. Mr. Watling.
Yeah, just, I mean, again, going back to what we said about that real sense of belonging to a house, isn't it? Whether it be a boarding or a day house. And you know, those who join Milford in year nine have that fabulous year nine programme, that lovely soft landing into the world of Milford. And thereafter, obviously, they're up and away into the senior boarding and day houses. And for me, as you just said, you know, the privilege of, you know, the privilege of our job as pastoral carers is that journey from year nine to obviously year 10s in the house all the way through, and seeing those heads of house and those senior prefects, you know, both the girls and the boys, you know, just being huge pillars of sort of, you know, strength and guidance for the younger students in their care as well in that particular house.
Yeah, I'd like to explore that a little bit. We've got some questions which are coming in, which are really good. We'll cover some of these academic ones, which are fantastic. But just want to mention that you've both run boarding houses. I've run one as well, actually. But in terms of people you've had through your house, perhaps you've made the overcome the greatest challenges, or who really stick in your mind. If I went, and we haven't rehearsed this at all, who's the person that most sticks in your mind as someone who has developed the most, or surprised you the most, or be the one really memorable story of someone who's gone perhaps from being some, you know, difficult periods or been quite down at times? Who do you come to? I'm looking here. Who wants to go first? Oh, hey, Mr. Watling, just got the hand ahead. Go on, Mr. Watling, who would you go for?
Okay. There's numerous ones that spring to mind, but there's a particular young man who joined me in year nine. And this shows how long I've been at Milford, actually, because when I run a boarding house, we still had year nines join the senior houses. But I had a particular boy in year nine who I'd never seen and still haven't seen acute homesickness like it, bless him. He, obviously he will remain nameless, but he had it really tough, and it didn't last a couple of weeks. It went on and went on. He even absconded a couple of times. He just desperately wanted to get home. Milford at that particular moment in time wasn't for him, but we kept up with the guidance and so forth, and parents obviously were very supportive, and it was absolutely superb. You know, 5 years later he left my house. He was my head of house in the spring term, outstanding young man, great A-level results, and now has a fabulous job in the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, and it was brilliant. And it would have been easy to, and if I'm sure if he was spoken to today, he undoubtedly at Christmas in his year nine would have given his right arm just to give it all up and go home. And that was fabulous. And probably just the other one, if you can just bear with me, is again the opportunities at Milford, and we often see, you know, a little bit of the teenage funnel. We really rally against the teenage funnel. And by that I'm talking about year nine, year 10, year 11, where there's a, you know, an array of opportunities, and it's being bold and being authentic and being brave and going, yeah, I'll have a go at that. And I certainly had a young boy in my care who came in as a rugby scholar, and he was the big rugby star, and he was going to be, you know, a professional rugby player, and he got pretty disillusioned with it pretty quickly, and had an opportunity with house drama, and it just lit his niche, his spark, and he just grabbed the drama opportunity, saw it all the way through, and he's up a sixth year. He was head boy. He got into the National Youth Theatre, and he's just finished studying drama at Exeter University. And, you know, and that's just, it was great for me, because he came in and that was, everyone thought that was his pathway, but had that opportunity that Milford allowed him, and boof, he just ran with it, and it was brilliant to see.
Fantastic, brilliant, great stories. Mrs. Weston.
Yeah, I'm just having a nice little stroll down memory lane here, actually, going through my mental Rolodex. Young children, ask your parents what that is. Of the girls that came through my boarding house, and actually, if I was just to compress the girls into one sort of, there was one particular theme, I think, which really sort of echoes what AD was saying, which is children will come with a potentially an identity, often an identity that they haven't had as much control over. It sort of has evolved over the years, but has been a sort of a mixture of, I suppose, identities that have been slightly impressed upon them. And actually, a good big boarding school will give them the opportunity to break that mold a little bit and to find out what really, really matters to them. And for them, yes, they'll take a few knocks along the way, but they grow stronger along the way and learn to sort of really become an impressive young adult that isn't necessarily the one that started with us at age maybe 13, 14 or 16, depending whether they're a year 9, 10 or lower sixth entrant. I think what's wonderful actually is there's plenty of opportunity. If you come in at year 9, you're part of the year 9 program, as Mr. Watling beautifully put it, a soft landing. It's a dedicated year 9 houses. But that doesn't mean that the Millfield opportunities are exclusively available to those year 9s. If you come in at year 10 or you come in the lower sixth, you still have the same opportunities to explore who you want to be. And it's exploring in a safe environment. You will make some mistakes along the way. The biggest learning points that we have are from the mistakes that we make. And at the time, they can seem catastrophic. But if you've got the team around you to support you, and for you to start to embrace the idea that actually mistakes are hugely, hugely beneficial. I'm sure if I have the misfortune to have to listen to myself again tonight, I will pick up plenty of those mistakes. But actually, they're enormously beneficial for our long-term learning. And therefore, the key thing to allow us to make mistakes is that we've got that support of other individuals, that we're not going to have people looking down their noses at us and tutting and saying, well, don't bother trying again because you're a complete abject failure. People say, hey, that's fine. I've done that. That's okay. And that's about having the group tutors, having the relationships with, you know, coaches or music teachers or dance coaches or your housemasters and housemistresses, and with the older pupils to give them that support. I think that's absolutely critical. So you've got the opportunity to invent yourself. It's not prescriptive. You don't have to be that person aged 18 that you were at age 13. It's absolutely fine to deviate from that pathway. So whether you come in as a bit of a, you know, rock and roller and you leave as a marine biologist, or if you come in as somebody with enormous with really, really severe dyslexia, and you know, various people along the way have told you that you're not going to amount to anything. And then while I was on the receiving, I got a lovely letter from an old girl from the boarding house I'd run, who's off at Bristol University reading medicine, and other people had told her that she'd never achieve anything. So I think it's finding those connections with people who say, you know, you can do it, and that helps them discover their brilliance. I think that's absolutely critical. I think that's what Millfield's all about.
Yeah, brilliant. I totally agree. If there's one book to read over this time, Black Box Thinking by Matthew Syed, about mistakes. You know, we get places by failing many, many times. David Beckham became very good at taking free kicks because he failed, 50,000 times in practicing and these sort of things. Mr. Watling?
Yeah, just a couple of things further to what Kate was saying, really. And I suppose just to reassure parents that, you know, is whether your son or daughter's joining in year 9 or year 10 or lower sixth, being anxious, those anxieties are perfectly, perfectly normal. And obviously when you're that child coming and you're going to think about yourself and your own anxieties, and it can be very insular because you think I'm the only one. But in reality, you're not. If you, Mr. Possible, undoubtedly as registrar, I have the numbers. But, you know, generally speaking, if we look most Septembers, we have, you know, circa 400 new students into school, as pastoral carers, housemasters, housemistresses. You know, their induction program is unbelievably thorough, both before joining the houses and that first couple of weeks and thereafter. You know, those anxieties are perfectly, perfectly normal. We would expect that. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, for those anxieties, you know, it goes back to what we said around the team, around the child, the team building, the camaraderie, and that sense of belonging in the house is soon quickly established. And generally, and, you know, even going back to the story I shared you with that young man who for me was very rare because those anxieties, you know, were hanging around for far longer than normal. But even with him, you know, thereafter, yeah, he was on the upward trajectory and was on a very, you know, fabulously fulfilling journey.
If you've got any concerns about joining, I promise you there are another 350 to 400 pupils who are joining with you, new, in September, and they're all going to feel exactly the same. Often I find myself like a bit of a spoke in the middle of a wheel, and I'm sort of the hub, and I meet all these people, often around the world and across the UK, and I sometimes put them in touch with each other. I did it with a girl yesterday at an interview with, who was a swimmer in France, and she was a backstroker. And I said, I had another interview with a girl in Mexico yesterday before. She's also a backstroker, both coming to year 10. and we'll hook them up. So please don't be concerned if you are worried about that. It's very normal. And of course, it's an anxious time in coming to a new school. But my goodness, you settle in quick. We really make sure about that. I'm conscious of time. I'm conscious we've got a few questions that have come up. I'm going to ask Mr. Watling very quickly to do one about an EPQ, because that's really exciting what they are. And there's lots of detail. It may be that you want to follow this up with Mr. Watling offline. So a very short answer. And then Ms. Weston to answer one as well that Graham's mentioned about the year 10. So we'll do those orders. And then Sarah's put a couple of questions in as well. So conscious of time, Mr. Watling, a quick one on that EPQ question.
Okay, thank you. I think this came from Mr. Lurwell. So just inquiring about the EPQ and forgive me, I can't remember if it was a son or daughter looking at trying to do an EPQ on the biomechanics of the golf swing. Would it be a good topic? In a word, yes. Simply as that. I had the pleasure of listening to an EPQ presentation last year from an outgoing upper sixth student who did the biomechanical flight path of a shuttlecock, which was amazing, quite frankly, talking about the laminar flow and Magnus forces, and it was wonderful. So the biomechanics of the golf swing and the golf ball in action, absolutely no problem at all.
And just to put it in context, for those who don't know, an extended project qualification, it's something we are offering to some students to join earlier. Sarah's asked a question about our students who are going to perhaps take up one of our courses earlier. Would it be too much to do alongside GCSEs? I think probably it's a judgment you have to make. Obviously, you might be doing some of the studying still at your current school, but they are great courses and great topics to be doing. And an extended project qualification is definitely one we would push. And if you want to hear more about it, listen to the podcast of last week's webinar Wednesday, and you'll hear both Mrs. Hayden and also Dr. Pringle talking passionately about the EPQ. So Sarah, we'll be very happy to talk to you more about that. Mrs. Weston, just in terms of the year 10 joining pastoral care, again, pretty easy question, I think, for the answer, because it's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the benefit is actually the year nines are just going through their house transition process at the moment. So they made choices about which friends that they were going to, they wish to be with for the next 4 years of their education. And when they hopefully come back to school in September, they will be part of the year 10 to 13 houses. So any children who are joining us in year 10 will also be part of that new dynamic within a new boarding house. So actually, I'd say it's much easier to join Millfield in year 10 than it would be to join another school in year 10, because it's a natural time of change and transition. And therefore, because of that, we're acutely aware of the needs for induction and to make sure that the children feel settled in their new environments. And as always, it's about the relationships, not just between the housemaster and mistress and the child, but between the housemaster and mistress and the family, so that there's that dialogue, there's that connection. Obviously, we're in somewhat unusual circumstances at the moment, but the benefit is that actually we've got some flexibility in terms of meetings with families. Traditionally, they would come to Millfield for a Sunday afternoon or so, and maybe a group of families would come in and meet the new housemaster or mistress. But at this point, we can have a far greater degree of bespoke one-to-one meetings, which allows families to meet the new pastoral team for their child, whether they're coming from year 9 programs up to year 10 within Millfield, or whether they're new entrants from down the road to Timbuktu or in anywhere in between.
Great, thank you very much, Ms. Weston. There's a question from Jane that's just come in. Have a look at that. We'll come back to you to answer that in a second. Mr. Watling, just being conscious of time and bringing the topic round, tips and hints. We said how to be healthy and happy at home during this term. Any thoughts on that you could offer? Any sort of hints and tips?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, in no particular order, we've talked a lot about exercise, but exercise doesn't have to be, say going out and doing a massive sort of, 3-hour run, a la Mrs. Weston, obviously. It can be anything, and be flexible with that, I'm a case in point with regards to this. I've done more family yoga in the last 4 weeks than I've ever done in my life. I still can't touch my toes, but it's nice to do something different. And the great thing about being at home, and if you haven't got a lot of outdoor space, doing some of those body weight sessions, doing some yoga, doing some mindfulness, that's a really, really good thing to do. The other big thing for me is around in times of uncertainty, it's really, really easy to procrastinate. There's no doubt about that. And I'm a big fan of to-do lists. And sometimes I find that really, really helpful. We said at the end of the day, putting the day to bed, after 8 o'clock, put the screens away and try and settle down and have some family time or a little bit of quiet time. And I do. Mrs. Watling finds way too many post-it notes popped around the house or the kitchen, but it certainly works for me. It keeps it, just a nice little to-do list for me, the next day, two or three things. It's a little bit Brian Tracy-esque, who is a little bit of a sort of a renowned American-Canadian sort of psychologist. But to-do list definitely helps, without doubt. I've talked a little bit about probably not consuming too much news. I think the more you read the news at the moment, the more confusing it gets. And that's for adults, let alone the young children in our care, obviously. And for me, probably, would this be the opportune time to talk about my one take-home? Okay, so my one take-home tip for me, I think this term is definitely starting that project. And, as I said to you, when we've got that uncertainty, having something different, a sense of control, structure, and the motivation to achieve and work towards that is something that is psychologically really, really helpful. Going back to, growing fruit and veg is not something I ever saw myself doing. And I'm not necessarily saying I'm going to be successful, but it is a project. And for me, in my downtime, it's hugely, hugely grounding and hugely satisfying. So that would be my top tip for the term, definitely.
Fantastic. Absolutely brilliant to hear that, Mr. Watling. To-do lists. I'm a big fan of a to-do list. I feel like you can download your brain onto on a piece of paper and you know that everything you need to do is on there. And the satisfaction when you cross it off. I get quite excited. Mrs. Weston, before I come to your top tip takeaway, could you answer Jane's question?
Yeah, absolutely. James mentioned that she thinks it would be really helpful for there to be a parental sort of buddy system whereby a parent from the year above can connect with a parent of a child coming into the school or maybe moving from year 9 to year 10. I confess it's not something that I've considered here at Millfield. It's something that certainly in terms of social opportunities in houses, at my last school, there was definitely that opportunity for connection. And I think, working in this in these unusual circumstances means that actually one of the challenges and beauties of Millfield is that it's a big and very diverse community with an awful lot of people from a wide range of locations around the world, and therefore sometimes difficult to get all the parents from a house together in one place at one time. So I think it's a wonderful idea, and it's something that I'd really like to explore. And I think it really echoes the fact that we as a community want to engage with families just as much as we do with the children, because it helps us support the children, to be absolutely honest. And I'm sure for parents, it helps them support the children if they've got that strong connection with the school as well. So, absolutely, it looks like a good idea that I think would be really helpful for us to investigate further. Mr. Postle's making gestures at
me. I'm just going to come in there because I think one of the great things that Mrs. Weston has brought in to the school in the last 18 months that she's been here is an openness to look at something and say, that's a great idea. Let's explore it. And I think this development, like every good institution, goes through a phase of change. And it's great to work with Mrs. Weston for that. I'm sure Mr. Watling would echo that in terms of openness to new ideas. And I know it's great when we are challenged in that way. I know we've got a headmaster who enjoys it when parents ask tricky questions and we are ourselves challenged. I like it when someone on a tour comes up with a question I've never heard of before. And we as an organisation want to continue to strive to improve, to get through this period. And we welcome, just by doing these Q&As, it's amazing the questions we've had from parents, and it can bring up new ideas. Mrs. Weston, I just bought you a bit of time there to come up with what your big takeaway is. We're nearly at 7 o'clock. What would be your top hint and tip to take away to be happy and healthy at home?
I think it's something that's pretty easy to do, actually. It's to have a sense of gratitude. I know that sounds a little bit maybe a little bit cheesy, but to find some beauty in every day, so something that you just appreciate. There's a lovely little video on an organization on a website called Soul Pancake, and it just talks about sort of paying it forward and being grateful and acknowledging that gratitude. So whether it's a beautiful sunrise when you've heaved yourself out of bed to get a run done first thing in the morning, whether it's somebody just smiling at you or someone saying thank you, whether it's a delicious piece of cake that somebody's offered you when you haven't when you weren't expecting it, you know, just say thank you and make a little note of it to yourself, because it's just a little boost. And yeah, just appreciate your surroundings. And you know what? Also, I'm going to have a sneaky extra 0.5 of a takeaway, if you don't mind. I've supersized it, Mr. Possel. I think it's a recognition that we're going through these uncertain times, but they will pass. We will move into new territory, but you know, the extraordinary circumstances that we're in at the moment, I've said circumstances a lot, it's not going to be like this forever. So, you know, tempus fugit.
Absolutely, absolutely. Things will pass. It's always hardest when you're in the middle of the storm. And just looking back to VE Day celebrations that were going on Friday, and you can imagine what it was like for people. As a history teacher, I, of course, would hark back to this on a final point. But it's always the most difficult, I think, to see what the future will hold when you're in the middle of something like this. And we have to remember that the world will keep turning. Things will pick up. And if in doubt, Mrs. Weston's slogan is more cake. So that's something you can beat a path to her door. Come and see her in the office. Come and see all of us when you get here. Mr. Watling, all of the pastoral team. Mr. Collins is coming on. I've got to be careful, I don't say the show. He's coming on one of these later on next to his term. He's also a key member of the pastoral team. As long as all of the housemasters, housemistresses and houseparents across the school, really important, including matrons and all the staff in the pastoral team, they really do look after you. We value this enormously. It's a huge part of your well-being that leads to your health and happiness. Next week, we are going to be joined by the heads of our co-curricular group, and they are the heads of drama, the heads of art, heads of music, Mr. Maxfield, Mr. Baddock, Mr. Cook. I'm delighted that they're going to come on. And we've got a great topic, which is talking about lockdown. Is this a stimulus for creativity? Is this great thing that's going to come out of this? Even if you are not a keen dramatist or standing, you know, on the stage playing an instrument would be your biggest fear, please tune in anyway, because we're going to address lots and lots of other issues, and it crosses over many, many wide-ranging parts of the school. So please come in to listen to that. That'll be on Wednesday, 6 o'clock. This episode, if I can call it that, is going to be available as a podcast, as well as being able to be downloaded for anybody in a different time zone who's not been able to see it. Please email us and we'll be happy to send it out. Thank you to everybody who has put questions through, and we really do value the comments. I think we've managed to try and cover most of those there, but thank you, Azaria, Larissa, the comments you put in. It really does cheer us up that we know this is coming out to an audience, and if we can do our bit to try and reassure all of you that we're here, we're healthy, we're happy, we're going to be very relieved, I think, my colleagues, when this evening is over. But thank you very much, Mr. Watling, Mrs. Weston, for joining me this evening, giving up their time. But I'm going to go to gallery view now, so I'm to wave cheerio to you. But thank you so much for joining. Thank you for listening to us, and see us again next week. Bye-bye.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.